run down, bonita ave, por la casa de Ariane, bonita y nadie va a venir. Para café, Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Hari Bol Hari Bol Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramahacharya Osakara Siddhashi Srimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Gijaya Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Gijaya Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Gijaya Premse Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopika Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturadam Kijai Jagadatha Sami Kijai Yamanamai Kijai Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premilanda Hari Hari Gaur All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Gijaya, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhakta Padanta, Swamini, Namini, Namaste, Saraswati, Gauravadi Pachardi, Nivashesha, Shunyavadi, Paschacha, Deja, Tarni. So before we begin class, again, like to ask for prayers for these devotees who are either in the hospital or suffering in different ways, of course, for His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, who is in Madras, and they actually had two blood clots, which they removed from him, and each one was approximately, there's a little sound here. Let me just make sure the sound. Each one was approximately 1 liter.
So before we begin clap, again, like to ask for prayers.
I'm just checking the sound levels. The sound levels are kind of high. Okay, they're better now. So anyway, so we'd like to add... Let me turn me off. Okay, I just turned me off. So they removed like 2 liters of blood from blood clots in his... in his stomach somewhere. Anyway, so we just pray for his safety and quick recovery, and also for the Fiji with COVID. The sound is good. Okay, just so you are right. So the devotees who are in Fiji with COVID, we have Shamabalaba, who is in a very difficult situation in the hospital, in CWM hospital. And we have Saki, who is doing much better and probably be getting out in 2 days with COVID, with severe COVID. So it turns out that most of the devotees in Suva and other places got COVID. And I got out just in time from Fiji, or maybe I got it too, but with a very mild case. I think that's probably the case. The devotees have to exercise caution. This is really very important because we're at a very critical point, and if the devotees have any comorbidities or they're weak, then they should exercise caution. And even if they don't, they should exercise caution. Then also,
We ask again for the prayers for Krishna Vijay, who has Parkinson's. It's not an acute illness. Acute illness means something happens all of a sudden, but it's a chronic illness. He has Parkinson's and some pinched nerves on his spine. And so we pray that he can overcome his pains and be able to do what he wants to do for Srila Prabhupada, which is preach Krishna consciousness. So ask everyone to pray for these devotees. And as everybody can see, I'm in Vrindavan. Anyway, this program Zoom sometimes has some bugs to it, so I just have to make sure I got the right settings. If I don't have the right settings, then it freezes up. So I hope everybody heard that I was asking for prayers for these devotees, Jayapataka Maharaj, Saki, Shambhavallabha, and Krishna Vijay. So, and I also mentioned that I'm in Vrindavan. Unfortunately, I had to put my back to Krishna. Krishna is with Radharani here, and he told me to give class, so I have to give class in spite of being here in Vrindavan with Radha and Krishna. Of course, I wouldn't be allowed to enter Vrindavan with Radha and Krishna in this particular body. I'd have to have a spiritual body or manifest my spiritual body. Obviously, this is my... It's called the sadhaka body. That's interesting. There's two things. There's the sadhya body and the sadhaka body. The sadhaka body is the body in which one executes devotional service in this world. And... Oh, Kunjabihari. Okay, we have to pray for Kunjabihari. He's one of my disciples, also sick. And he'll just have to tolerate his sickness. He'll be better. He's a young man. So, the sadhaka body is a body in which one performs devotional service in this world. And it's not one's eternal spiritual form. Certainly in the spiritual world, if I ever get there, I don't look like this. Today, my brother sent me a whole bunch of my baby pictures because he was cleaning out my mother's apartment. So he sent me all my youthful baby pictures of this body. And it's not me. It's just a body of some kid. And what happened with that body? That body is gone. Even though everyone, you know, there's so many pictures of my family holding up the little body and going, how cute he is. And what happened to that cute body? That cute body is gone. And now we have an old body. So we can't take so seriously things in this world because there's the passing of time, the time factor, and ultimately, everything is gone. This is a fact. Ultimately, you lose everything. Materially. But spiritually, svalpamapyasya dharmasya trahyate mahatobayat. Spiritually, you don't lose anything. You get to take your spiritual assets with you from one lifetime to another. So this is really important. So just looking at these pictures, you know, I spent 2 minutes. Not that I'm going to spend like the whole day looking at baby pictures of me. But I spent 2 minutes looking at these pictures and just remember, you know, or maybe I couldn't even remember. There's a picture of me in the crib with holding the bars, trying to get out. And it's just, what happened to that little baby is just gone. So, word to the wise is sufficient. Okay, so let's go on with the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So again, Om Gana Timibanda Shaganan Chana Shlakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Okay, so we're starting from the 21st chapter of the Madhulila text, 107. These are the instructions given to Sanatana Goswami by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Specifically in this chapter, it's about Krishna's sweetness and opulence. And there's a lot of description about the spiritual world, what's in the spiritual world, the divisions in the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planets, the material world, the expansions of Krishna, a lot of stuff in this world. And even Yogamaya, the one we were talking about yesterday, how Yogamaya only fully manifests in Goloka Vrindavan. In other words, only in Goloka Vrindavan, amongst those devotees who are internally in Goloka Vrindavan, do they forget that Krishna is God? Do they simply see Krishna as the most attractive person? Do they have these most intimate pastimes with Krishna, unexcelled beauty? And only there does Krishna play his flute. Okay, let's go. Chari gopi manorate, manmate ramana mate, namadare matanago mohana, jinipascha sharadarpa, swayam nava kandarpa, rasakare lana gopi gana. Favoring the gopis, Krishna rides on the chariots of their minds. And just to receive loving service from them, he attracts their minds like Cupid. Therefore, he is called Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. Cupid has five arrows, representing form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. Krishna is the owner of these five arrows, and with his Cupid-like beauty, he conquers the minds of the gopis, though they are very proud of their super-excellent beauty. Becoming a new Cupid attracts their minds and engages in the Rasa dance. So, several things here. Cupid is an actual person. He's called Kandarpa. That's another name for Cupid. But he's also called Ananga. Like, we have Anga and Ananga. Anga means a limb. Okay, my arm is a limb. My legs are limbs. So Ananga means no limbs. So as far as Cupid is concerned, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have hands and legs and stuff like that, but it means he's invisible, completely invisible. The reason he's invisible is that one time he tried to do his tricks on Lord Shiva. And guess what happened? Lord Shiva, instead of succumbing to Cupid's lures, and that, what are the lures? As it's described here, is form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. Just like if someone becomes romantically inclined, they look at the form of their beloved. Taste, I don't know that. And smell, you know, ladies put on perfume or whatever. Anyway, there's these chemicals coming from the body. Sound, the voice of your beloved, and the touch. And so, he fires these arrows when you don't see him. Anyway, so he fired the arrows, at Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva understood what was happening. This is before he became Ananga, before he was invisible. Lord Shiva got so upset with him, he burnt Cupid to ashes. And because Cupid does not have a gross body anymore, gross body means Panchamahabhuta, a body that we can perceive, at least with our gross senses, then he has a subtle body, and he does his business being invisible. So Krishna will, not Krishna, of course. I'm thinking of Krishna, unfortunately. So Cupid, he goes up to you when you're not looking and fires his arrows, and all of a sudden, you are in love. Yuck. Oh, sorry about that. Anyway, then you're attracted to someone or something like that. So this is very dangerous. He's a very dangerous personality. Prabhupada one time said, Mr. Lust, called him Mr. Lust. Anyway, so Cupid, getting back to Cupid, one of my favorite topics. He is not able to attract Krishna. Krishna can attract Cupid. However, Krishna is attracted by Srimati Radharani because of her devotion. So therefore, Krishna is called Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan means he attracts Cupid. And he attracts the minds of the gopis. And Radharani is called Madan Mohan Mohini, the person who attracts, the attractor of Cupid. So very interesting. So be careful of Cupid. He comes around and before you know it, you are entangled. Nijasama Saka Sange Gogana Charana Range Avrindavane Swachanda Vihara Yanravenu Dvani Shuni Stavara Jangama Prani Pulaka Kampa Ashru Vahidara. Interesting verse. When Lord Krishna wanders in the forest of Vrindavan with his friends on an equal level, there are innumerable cows grazing. This is another of the Lord's blissful enjoyments. When he plays on his flute, all living entities, including trees, plants, animals, and human beings, tremble and are saturated with jubilation. Tears flow constantly from their eyes. Wow. So the playing on his flute is a vibhava that awakens emotions. Muktahara bhakapanti indradanu pinjatati pitambara vijuri sanchara krishna nava jaladara jagat shasho para varishaye lilamata dari. Krishna wears a pearl necklace that appears like a chain of white herons around his neck. The peacock feather in his hair appears like a rainbow, and his yellow garments appear like lightning in the sky. Krishna appears like a newly risen cloud, and the gopis appear like newly grown grains in the field. Constant rains of nectarian pastimes fall upon these newly grown grains, and it seems that the gopis are receiving beams of life from Krishna exactly as grains receive life from the rains. Very poetic. Madhurya Bhagavata Sara Vrache Kaila Parachara Taha Sukha Vyasera Nandana Stani Stani Bhagavate Vaniyache Janaite Taha Shuni Mate Bhakta Gana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is full in six opulences, including his attractive beauty. We talked about this yesterday, actually. Which engages him in conjugal love with the gopis. Such sweetness is the quintessence of his qualities. Yuganeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, has described the pastimes of Krishna throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing the descriptions, the devotees become mad with love of God. It's called Divyonmada. Divyonmada means transcendental madness. Kahite Krishna rase shlokapade prema veshe prema sanatana hatta dari gopi bhagya Krishna guna yekari lavarnana bhava veshe matura nagare. Just as the women of Mathura ecstatically describe the fortune of the gopis of Vrindavan and the transcendental qualities of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the different mellows of Krishna and became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Grasping the hand of Sanatana Goswami, he recited the following verse. So in other words, his love was stimulated by the Vibhava, which is the recitation of the transcendental qualities of Krishna and the fortune of the gopis. And then here is an Anubhava. Gopyas tapa kim acharan yadamuchyatupam lavanyasaram masamordam mananda siddham jitvi vivachyanu sava vinavam durapam ekantadama yasasa shriya Aishvarasya. What austerities must the gopis have performed with their eyes? They always drink the nectar of the form of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That form is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever-fresh, and unique. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:44. 14, it was spoken by the women of Mathura when they saw Krishna in the wrestling arena. It's after Krishna left Vrindavan, obviously. Taranya mrita paravara taranga lavanya sara tate seyavata avarta pavodgama vangshi dhvani chakravata nadira. Mana trina pata taha dubhaya nakhaya udgama. The bodily beauty of Sri Krishna is like a wave in the ocean of eternal youth. In that great ocean is the whirlpool of the awakening of ecstatic love. The vibration of Krishna's flute is like a whirlwind, and the flickering minds of the gopis are like straws and dry leaves. After they fall down in the whirlwind, they never rise again, but remain eternally at the lotus feet of Krishna. Wow. So just picture that. Now when Krishna plays his flute, it's, whirlwind means like a tornado, basically. And the tornado picks up everything in its path, so it just picks up the gopis, and they're just like strewn everywhere. And they just fall down in the whirlwind right at Krishna's feet. What a very picturesque way of expressing Krishna's flute playing and the gopis' consequent response to hearing Krishna's flute. Saki hai kontapa kaila gopi gana Krishna rupa samadhuri pivi pivi netra bhare shagya kare janma tanu mana. Oh, my dear friend, what severe austerities have the gopis performed to drink his transcendental beauty and sweetness through their eyes in complete fulfillment. Thus they glorify their births, bodies, and minds. So what austerity have they performed? Not mundane austerities, that's for sure. Because Krishna says in the Gita, those who torture the body and the indwelling supersoul and perform all these harsh material austerities, they're to be known as demons. So the austerity the gopis have performed is giving their heart to Krishna and relinquishing their own self-interests. That's the austerity of the gopis. So that's, if you can do that, you go back to Godhead, you can become a gopi. Yemadur ra udvana nahi arasamana paravyome surupera gane yeno savavatari paravyoma adhikari emadhurya nahi narayane. The sweetness of Krishna's beauty enjoyed by the gopis is unparalleled. In other words, there's nothing that can be compared to it. Nothing is equal to or greater than such ecstatic sweetness. Even the predominating deities of the Vaikuntha planets, the Narayanas, that means expansions of Krishna, do not possess such sweetness. Indeed, none of the incarnations of Krishna up to Narayan possess such transcendental beauty. Tate sakshi se rama narayanera priyatama pativrata ganero pasha tinho ye madhurya lobe chari sava kama kama boge ratakari kadilat tapasha. The vivid evidence in this regard is that the dearest consort of Narayan, the goddess of fortune who is worshipped by all chaste women, gave up everything in her desire to enjoy Krishna, being captivated by his unparalleled sweetness. Thus she took a great vow and underwent severe austerities. And of course this is also brought up by Venkatabhata, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his discussions with Venkatabhata. He was teasing Venkatabhata, who was in Srirangam and a devotee of Lakshmi Narayan, and he said, "Your Lakshmi, she performed austerities for all these years just so she could be with Krishna, but she wasn't successful." Seta madhurya sara anya siri nahitara tinho madhurya di gunakani arasava prakashe tandradatta guna vase yahanyata prakashe kariya jani. The quintessence of Krishna's sweet bodily luster is so perfect that there is no perfection above it. He is the immutable, means cannot be changed, mind of all transcendental qualities. In his other manifestations and personal expansions, there is only a partial exhibition of such qualities. We understand all his personal expansions in this way. That's what I've been saying so many times in the past, that all the expansions of the Supreme Personality of God, whether you call them avatars, incarnations, Swamsa, whatever you may call his personal expansions, the Vishnu Tattva expansions, they're all the same person, but they exhibit only a partial part of the Lord's glories, the Lord's qualities, but they're all the same person. It's just like everybody has that experience, that when they go certain places, they don't let their heart out in public, and they don't have intimate relationships with everybody. It's only under specific conditions or circumstances that one has very close relationships. I mean, when I go to Walmart, I don't start having a close relationship with everyone. Of course, I do feel that everyone is my brother and sister, but I don't approach everybody and just say, "Hi, I'm Bir Krishna Goswami. Let me reveal my mind. You are very dear to me." I certainly don't say that. Only under certain circumstances, very limited circumstances. Actually, we were talking about this before. This is actually an interesting discussion. I was asked the question yesterday about Raghunuga Bhakti. Okay, Raghunuga Bhakti is the stage above Vaidhi Bhakti. It's also sadhana, raga-nuga, to follow in the steps of, in rag, motions like that. So part of raga-nuga is to begin to identify one's spiritual position. In other words, we have a spiritual position. We've just forgotten it. Each and every one of you, and even me, has a position. You know, we may be a cow, coward boy, gopi, gopa. Because that's also coward man. We may be a tree in Vrindavan. I mean, whatever it is, we've just forgotten what it is. So I was asked the question, what do we do about Raghunuga Bhakti? How do we know we're ready for it? Woo! Well, it's an interesting answer. But, all right, I guess I'll give the whole answer. So, the answer is Krishna will reveal. And you have to be very careful. Like, what if you're feeling any lust or anger and greed and not able to control those things? Just do your vaidhi. And actually, the quality of someone who's doing Raghunuga Bhakti is that they're more strict in their sadhana, basically, than the vaidhi people are. Because they're very compassionate, thinking of setting an example, and above all, they're humble. Someone who's on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti is not thinking, hey, I'm on a pretty high platform, and look at all those little Payuni devotees who are just like, you know, I feel sorry for him. No. One who's actually on a high platform thinks himself lower. But it's, anyway, so Krishna starts to reveal to one. All right, so I made the comment, and this is really important. This is borne out by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Jiva Dharma, which you can one day read after you become expert in Bhagavad Gita and all these other literatures, that it's not that you should have discussions with groups of people who realize or think they've realized their spiritual identity. You know, you go and you have a Zoom conference. What's the name of the Zoom conference today? The name of our Zoom conference is, Raghunuga Bhakti Prabhus or Pravis. Just give it a name. It doesn't matter what the name is. That's a name. And so you all meet together. Yeah. I'm a gopi. Yeah, I'm a coward boy. And, you know, everybody's sharing their realization. No way, Jose. It's a very private thing. You share with your spiritual master or someone who's another pure devotee. And one of the reasons you don't have groups of people to discuss that is because everybody's realization is different. Just like in the Jiva Dharma, there's one person who is a coward boy, I'm not going to mention the name, and one person who is a gopi. And the guru dealt with them separately at different times and different circumstances. Not that he had one a Zoom conference for everybody. Of course, he didn't have any Zoom conferences because Zoom did not exist at that particular point. So it's a very private thing. Private. Lord Chaitanya talked about these things with, you know, just a handful of devotees. But, you know, we like to just have these big conferences on Zoom and talk about it's wrong, Prabhu. It's wrong. It's a private thing. One's not supposed to reveal their Ishtadevata, their worshipful form of the Supreme Personality of God. You could reveal to your guru or to another pure devotee, but certainly not on the internet, and certainly not in groups. Pew-wee! Okay. So this was an interesting discussion. And if someone wants to know about the process of Raghunuga Bhakti, and actually all the process of Bhakti, the interesting way to find out is you read the Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because in the Jiva Dharma, all the different stages and the qualifications for reaching particular stages are actually written about in a very interesting way in a story form. So I highly recommend the book. When you've learned the Bhagavad Gita, when you've read the Srimad Bhagavatam, when you understood the Chaitanya Charitamrita, don't try to go into postgraduate studies before you are ready. I remember one class in the university, They did some advanced placement for me in the university, assuming, which has worked out pretty well when I went to the university. But one time they assumed I had all the preliminary knowledge for a course. And I walked into this course, I think it was about electromagnetic fields or something like that. I walked into the course and I said, what are they talking about? Because I hadn't done the prerequisites. That's right, I hadn't performed the prerequisites before taking that particular course, even though they would put me there because of advanced placement, because they thought I was a genius. That's another question. But even if someone is a genius, you still have to know the information before you can understand what people are talking about. So in the same way, we have to go step by step through devotional service. Not that you could just like jump, big, big belly, big, big monkey, sail on jumping, melancholy. Okay, sorry for that. Gobi Baba Dara Prana Navanava Kshane Kshana Tara Ge Krishna Madhurya Donhe Kare Udai Huri Bade Muka Nahi Mudi Nava Nava Donhara Prachurya. Both the gopis and Krishna engage in competition. The gopis' ecstatic love is like a mirror that becomes newer and newer at every moment and reflects Krishna's bodily luster and sweetness. In other words, Krishna's bodily luster and sweetness also increases at every moment. Thus, their competition increases, since neither give up. Their pastimes become newer and newer, and both sides constantly increase, because it's bhakti. In the material world, you know, for people to attract others, there has to be so much makeup. But in the spiritual world, it's just the heart. There's no makeup on the heart. You can't hide things from Krishna. And Krishna can't hide things from the gopis. Karma tapa yoga jnana vidhi bhakti japa jnana iha haite madurya durlabha kevala ye raga marge bhaje krishna anurage tare krishna madurya sulabha. The transcendental mellows generated from the dealings between the gopis and Krishna cannot be tasted by means of fruitive activity. That means when you want things in this world. Yogic austerities, or speculative knowledge, regulative devotional service. That's interesting. Mantra yoga or meditation. The sweetness can be tasted only through the spontaneous love of liberated persons who chant the holy names with great ecstatic love. In other words, Prabhus, Rahuganai Tat Tapasanayati, Acheja Nirva Panad Grahadva, Nachanda Sadnaya Vajlagna Suryar, Jana Mahabhata, Rajobi Shekham, Vina. Sorry. So, anyway, so one, yes, one should do these other things, mantra yoga, chanting the mantras, meditation, but ultimately, you need the association of a liberated person and the blessings of a liberated person, a Krishna conscious person. That's how you get the love. Krishna say tamar. Liberated person, the Krishna conscious person, has bhakti. Bhakti is independent, and you can't force your way into bhakti through regulative devotional service. Of course, you do regulated devotional service, but as you're doing it, it has to be a service to a pure devotee. Vanamaha pada rajobi shekham. Unless you actually take a bath in the from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, then no matter what else you do, you're not going to reach the stage of ecstatic love of Godhead. She Rupa Braja Shraya Ishvari Madhurya Maya Divya Yuna Ganaratna Laya Anera Vaibhava Sata Krishna Data Bhagavata Krishna Sarva Amshi Sarva Shraya. Such ecstatic transactions between Krishna and the gopis are possible only in Vrindavan. Remember that, only in Vrindavan, which is full of the opulences of transcendental love. The form of Krishna is the original source of all transcendental qualities. It is like a mine of gems. The opulences belonging to all the personal expansions of Krishna are to be understood to be bestowed by Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the original source and shelter of everyone. Only in Vrindavan. There's no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Text 121. Shri Lacha Daya Kirti Darya Vaisharadi Mati Esaba Krishna Patishtita Shushila Muridu Vadanya Krishna Sama Nahiyanja Krishna Kare Jagatera Hita. Beauty and humility, mercy, merit, patience, and expert intelligence are all manifested in Krishna. Everything. But besides these, Krishna has other qualities like good behavior, mildness, and magnanimity. He also performs welfare activities for the whole world. All these qualities are not visible in expansions like Narayana, and his other qualities too. Dhiradatta, Dhiradhata, Dhirabhashanta, Dhiralita. He's playful, he's joking, he's teasing, he's serious. All the different moods that we may see in this world are manifest within the Supreme Personality of God, except for the attraction or the illusory energy. But the emotional manifestations are present. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that the qualities of beauty, humility, mercy, merit, patience, and expert intelligence are brilliant qualities. And when they're exhibited in the person of Narayan, one should know that they are bestowed upon Narayan by Krishna. Good behavior, mildness, and magnanimity are found only in Krishna. Of course, Narayan has good behavior, but not the topmost good behavior, and he's not topmost mild, and he's not topmost magnanimity, magnanimous. Compassionate, magnanimous means compassionate. And you see, Lord Chaitanya, what is it? Same thing. Namo Maha Vadanjaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Koro to say Namaha. That I offer my respectful obeisances unto the most munificent, magnanimous personality of Godhead, because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So he's more merciful than Krishna, more magnanimous than Krishna, more mild than Krishna, better behavior than Krishna. Only Krishna performs welfare activities for the whole world, the topmost welfare activities. That doesn't mean Narayan doesn't perform activities that are meant for welfare, but the topmost welfare activity is to give Braja Prem. Try to remember that. That's the topmost welfare activity. If you get Braja Prem, you are blessed. Right now we have Maya Prem. Okay, so we went to 121 today, and tomorrow we should be able to continue from that particular point. So let us take some questions. Krishna wants me to turn myself back to him in this picture, so probably the cow there. So we'll take some questions after I stop sharing and stopped muting you all. Okay, you are allowed to unmute. And what you can do, let me just do this one thing so I can see all the participants. Okay, so you can raise your hand, type your question, or raise your voice. Unmute yourself and raise your voice. No questions. Okay, this is your last opportunity for questions. Questions, comments, problems, issues about any spiritual subject matter. Okay. Madhava, okay.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Maharaj. So, yeah, it is not from today's reading. Today's reading was fantastic. That's why it was maybe not many questions. But anyway, I'm asking about a question few days earlier we read. I know somebody, I know you were describing by your some incidents with you. Some person did not know in gathering that you are Guru and GBC. And he said, Prabhu. And then, of course, someone knew. And then this person said, hey, gently, he is Guru, he is GBC. So anyway, but you were describing, which is so magnanimous and so humble of you that it doesn't matter to you what he said, Prabhu, or even he understood Guru or Maharaj, whatever you say, but it didn't bother you. You are beyond, way above that. So understandable. Similarly, when we try to love Krishna, when Krishna is the ocean of mercy, bliss, and everything in full, so what little our love can make any dent into his ocean? So why does it should matter to him?
Because he loves us. He wants the best thing for us. He's like a good parent. Like the parent, for example, the example Prabhupada gives oftentimes is that the parent and the son or daughter may be sitting down at the dinner table, and the son or daughter may offer a little something from his plate back to the parent, the mother or the father. And so the mother and father don't need that. It's not an ontological need. But they really want the love. So Krishna wants the love, and he's concerned. So it's not a question of ego. I mean, if I was to get upset because someone didn't call me by the right name, that would be false ego. Whereas Krishna, he doesn't have that false ego. He just acts for everybody's benefit. That's love. I mean, even when Krishna kills Shishupal, it's not that, you know, Krishna's because of some false ego. You know, he criticized me enough times, you know, got to get rid of the creep. But it was for the benefit of Shishupal. That is brought out by Shukadeva Goswami when Maharaj Pariksit brings out the point, isn't it that the Lord is partial? You know, he kills the demons. Well, the point is, the killing of the demons, of course we know they're liberated, but the killing of the demons is done because Krishna's concerned with the benefit. What's the best thing for that particular individual, the best thing for the demon? So that's love, which is a completely different category. It's not an ontological issue. It's a emotional issue. It's love. So Krishna wants our love because he loves us, not because he's lacking anything. Krishna's not lacking anything. Krishna has everything. Lakshmi Shahasha Sata Sambrahma Sevimanam. He has unlimited Lakshmis. But Krishna wants our love because he loves us so much. He knows that we're suffering and he's feeling unhappy to know that we are suffering. That's real love. Real love is when your needs are fulfilled, all your needs are fulfilled, and you're still in anxiety over someone else. In the material world, we make relationships to fulfill our particular needs. Like you make a relationship, you go to the bank and you make a relationship with the bank president because you want a loan. You get to know him, he's your friend. And, you know, obviously, I mean, otherwise you wouldn't make him your friend. He's just some electric guy. So, because you have a need. That's an ontological need. Whereas Krishna doesn't have any needs. But he's doing everything out of love. he doesn't need you, but he loves you so much and knows that you need him, and that's why he's feeling great hankering for you. It's out of love. It's not that Krishna's thinking, hey, I got no one to herd the cows today. No one knows how to dance, probably. I mean, sometimes I'm leading kirtan in the temple, and I'm just thinking, I wish someone knew how to play the drum properly. But that's because I'm lacking something. They're lacking the good players. So, but Krishna never lacks anything. But he simply wants people to come, wants living entities to come because of love. I think that's a really important point.
Thank you.
Okay? Thank you for the question. Here's the question. So, how can we protect ourselves from the attack of Cupid? That's a good one. Well, the only thing that can counteract Cupid is Krishna. So we have to keep Krishna on the tip of our tongues. Like if somehow or other, and not contemplate sense objects. See, we're talking about Cupid attracts us through form, taste, smell, touch, etc., like that. Then one has to be aware when there's danger, and then just chant the holy name, Hare Krishna. You experience that if you chant the holy name, when something starts to attract you, whether it's, you know, it's romance, or whether it's something you really want, like a car or a new computer or something like that, or a swimming pool or whatever, if you start chanting, then it's not so important anymore. I mean, it really diminishes the impact of Cupid and of Maya or illusion. So the solution in every single circumstance, it's interesting. Just looking at this. Oh, I see what I have to do. No, I did the wrong thing. Oh, there it is. There I am, back normal. The solution in every single circumstance is to invoke the presence of Krishna by chanting his holy names. That's the only way I know of. You know, when something could potentially attract you, you just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. So another one, in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada describes there's so much opulence in Vrindavan, but then it's said that Lakshmi Devi isn't present in Vrindavan. So from whom does this opulence come? Adi Lakshmi, that's Srimati Radharani, and Vrinda Devi, they're expansions of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is the original Lakshmi, but the Lakshmi, that's the consort of Narayan, doesn't come. But the Adi Lakshmi, who is Srimati Radharani, she's there. Because of her and her associates and expansions, then there's plenty of opulence to write home about in Vrindavan. Okay, so one other question. Rishikesh, you have a question, so ask your question.
Hare Krishna Gurudev. I just wanted to understand, how do we understand Krishna loves us, especially when you are going through these pangs of material miseries, you know? The three modes of material nature, adhyatmic, adhivautics, constant miseries which are going through. And when we are going through this, we are struggling in my devotional service. How do we know in all this whirlpool that Krishna is still loving me? Sometimes I feel so disappointed.
Well, if Krishna didn't have the threefold miseries, you would never turn to him. Let's do away with the threefold miseries. You never get sick. No one ever dies. Your family members are always submissive to you. They listen to whatever you say, Rishikesh. Your family members say, yes, sir, yes, sir. Is that true?
Well, maybe in a different universe.
I think you answered that question. So that's Krishna's special arrangement to help us understand that we're not going to be happy here. like if in the prison house, the government arranged that the prison was too soft. That Gopal liked that. So in the prison house, if the government arranged that everything was so soft, I mean, some of the prisons are like that in America, and people like to stay in prisons for their whole lives. Like, if everything was so soft in the prison, you had swimming pool, jacuzzi, dancing girls at night, or whatever, you know, prison, or movies, which I think they do have a lot of that stuff, then... So there has to be some impetus. So that's Krishna's love, because we don't belong here. We're not going to be happy anyway. Even if you did away with the threefold miseries, you're not going to be happy, because your only happiness is in exchanging loving mellows with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the only happiness. Everything else, it pales in comparison to that.
But what about
so Krishna gives us the threefold miseries.
The exalted devotees like Jayapataka Maharaj, His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, is going through so much of apparent miseries. How do you understand that?
I mean, or Haridas Thakurmi, who is put into prison. These are arrangements by the Lord. First of all, to glorify. Let's look at Jayapataka Maharaj, for example. He is an amazing person. He shows his great determination to go on serving. I mean, you're not a member of the GBC conference, I am. But he's regularly posting comments on the GBC conference, even being in the hospital and being operated on. I mean, if it was me, I would just be saying, you know, signing off for a few months until I feel better. But he's like an amazing determination. And we're admiring him so much for that. So Krishna's arranging that. Krishna arranges that devotees go through tests to glorify them. And in any case, we do have to get old, we do have to get sick, and we do have to leave this world. Where's the case of any devotee who has not left this world at a certain point? I mean, I don't think there is a case of any devotee who has not left this world. So, because that's the nature when you take a material body. Just like if I buy a car. Dhruva Maharaj, no, Dhruva Maharaj had to leave this world. Eventually. Just like if I buy a car, I got 100,000-mile guarantee on it, but I know it's going to go bad after some time. I may be the richest man in the world. I may be the most pious person. But it'll go bad. So that's the nature of this world. And the pure devotee is detached, and the pure devotee goes on serving. Okay, I'm just going to answer this one more question. Oh, we hear that Krishna is enjoying Vrindavan with his associates and reciprocates with pure devotees, and the compassion of the pure devotees try to help the conditioned souls. Yes, the compassion. That's the point. It's the compassion of the pure devotees. I mean, I don't know how I can elaborate on the compassion of the pure devotees. I mean, pure devotees stay in this world to try to please Krishna and compassion. Anyway, it's 6:06. It's time to end. It's time to say goodbye. We're going to ask questions, more questions tomorrow. Dhruva Maharaj is not in the material world forever. And actually, he goes to the pole star, which is the Vaikuntha planet. Anyway, so, no, you can't stay in this world forever. You cannot stay in this world forever. You know, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? I don't want to keep this body forever. I mean, when it doesn't work anymore, then, you know, chakchua deham purna janma. Janma. Okay, on that happy note, sorry to leave everybody like that, so please pray for all those devotees that I mentioned, and pray that they can regain their health and service to Srila Prabhupada.